challenges, I should say. Amen. And financial challenges is not just about how much money you have. It's about understanding where you are and understanding that money plays a big part in our lives. Am I right? Am I wrong? Am I right? Amen. I'm right about that, I think. How many could use some more money? Let me see who can use some more. Let me see. Oh, everybody's hand went up that time. How many can use some more money? All right. How many can say you don't have enough money? All right. Amen. What would having more money do? It'd be fun, right? What would you do? Amen. You'll travel. Oh, all right. Sister Sarah said she going to tithe. Amen. Amen. All right. All right. And so one thing you need to know about money is money has to do with your emotion. Amen. Everybody, all of us, we are at some point, we squander the resources that we have. Amen. We purchase things that we don't need to impress people that really don't care anything about us. Amen. And so the one thing I've always done, and I've been doing this for some years now, is I've gotten a good grip on my goals, my financial goals. And I'm going to give you some nuggets. So go to Proverbs chapter 22 for me. Proverbs chapter 22. In verse 7, it is. This is it. I got something Sunday that I want to share with you. I think we've been pursuing the wrong thing. You don't want to be rich. I'm going to show you what you want to be, though, on Sunday. All right? So rich is not something you want to be. All right, it says the rich rules over the what? And the what? And the borrower becomes what? A what? The borrower becomes the what? All right, so one version says the borrower is the servant to the lender. Now, I'm with this school that there's some things you have to finance, like your house, you know, stuff like that. So we're going back some of the same principles that I've taught you, but I'm giving it just a little bit twist, okay? So this word for slave in the Hebrew is the word ebed in the Hebrew. It's the word ebed. It means a servant, a slave in bondage. Say one more time. It is a servant or a slave. See, there's one thing to serve and be free. But there's another thing to serve and be in bondage. Right? So when Jacob served Laban for 20 years, I'm not sure if you're familiar with that Bible story. Well, he was a slave, but he was really in bondage. Because every time he completed the requirement for Laban, Laban came back and said, nah, give me another 15 years, or give me another 5 years, right? He did his part, but what he did was he was in bondage. He was a slave, but in bondage. I'm going somewhere with this. Some of us are in bondage financially. Amen? We're in bondage financially. We can't do some things in life because we are not handling the resources that we have correctly. Now, I know one thing. January to maybe March will be consistent. Correct? consistent in some things. How many made New Year's resolutions? Nobody? Whoa, wait a minute now. All right, okay, all right. This is not a rhetorical question. This is a answer back kind of thing. All right, so you made New Year's resolutions, all right? How many set some goals? Okay, so that's resolutions, y'all. Good Lord, yeah. Woo, Lord, it's a hard crowd tonight. Okay, so you set some goals, right? Now, how many in those goals, how did you set those goals? Are they short-term goals, long-term goals, measurable goals? What type of goals are those? Long-term, okay. Is it something that you can accomplish in the next 3 months? Okay, good. What about 6 months? All right, and what about by the end of the year? All right, good. All right, so now when it comes down to money, we have to understand that we make decisions with money based on emotion. Okay? When you and I release the emotional bondage that we're in with money, then we can make money work for us. Amen? The average household in the United States is in debt. Watch this. 136% of households are in debt. They're struggling. All right? Now, here's the thing. For those who have credit cards, they carry that balance over every month with a 26 to 36% interest rate. So once they make the minimum payment, right, guess what happens? They just paid on the interest. They never paid on the principal balance. You got it? I'm going somewhere with this. Okay? So the average 21-year-old owes $12,000 in debt. And by 28, they owe over $78,000 in debt because they were taught to finance everything, to borrow, and I'll pay it later. You know what I mean? The text says the rich rules over the what? And the borrower becomes the what? Let me ask you a question. What do you want to be this year? Do you want to be a lender or do you want to be a borrower? Right? Now, how are you going to achieve that? Right? Now, a lot of people are strapped in normal ways. Listen to this. House payments, car payments, student loans, credit card payments, sleepless nights, marriage tension, worry. Money brings a lot of issues. And what we first have to do is get a godly perspective on money. We don't serve money, we serve God. But it's amazing what we'll do for money. It's amazing what we will sacrifice for money. And this year is a year of increase. God wants to give you more, but not so that you can go get more stuff. He wants you to take care of the stuff that you've been putting off for years. Your credit report, for instance, it's time to pull one. Somebody say, I don't want to see that. That's a terrible news right there. Okay? Here's the thing I found out. If you are responsible, God will bless you. If you have a desire to pay off your debts, God will provide and he'll make a way for you to get out of it. But tell your neighbor you got to face it. Tell your neighbor you can't keep avoiding it. Listen, it keeps coming. It keeps coming, right? Amen. It keeps coming. It keeps coming. The bills keep coming. the fact that you sleep at night knowing you owe all that money to somebody, it's troubling, isn't it? Anybody have, some of you sleep all right, though. You're like, shoot, I ain't paying them. They took their stuff back, so guess what? I ain't lost no sleep, Pastor. That ain't a good mindset, y'all. That ain't a godly mindset either. Amen? Now, if you're strapped, amen, there's a reason you're strapped, because of a mindset. Go to Romans 13 for me. I got a lot of principles, y'all, when it comes down to money. Amen? But you know what I found out? Principles are good, but principles are not good if you don't apply it. Amen? Now, there are some questions I want you going to ask yourself here. What did I say? And what? Y'all will listen? Somebody want to listen. What is it? Romans 13 and what? I didn't say the chapter. I wonder why. I didn't say the verse. Well, let's read it. No. I think it's verse 8. Hold on 1 second. Amen. Got it? Romans 13 and verse what? What does it say? Oh, okay. That's it. That's the verse. It said what? To what? Stop. Oh, what? Nothing. To who? Except to what? For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Right? Jesus says, Paul says, owe nothing to no one. Now, I'm not talking about the car company. I'm talking about your house. I'm talking about those little things that got you in bondage, those little bills that you are, you know, you're like, oh, I'll put that off till later. Oh, no, owe nothing to no one. It's a mentality. One thing I know about money is it's a mindset. Until my mind changed and I emotionally broke up with money, that's when money started to work for me. Honestly. Amen? Now, here are some questions for you. Number one, are you financially free or are you in bondage? Okay? Do you give generously? All right? Do your assets exceed your liabilities? Do you have a short-term financial plan? Do you have a long-term financial plan? All right? Now, what is that all about? Some of us don't even know what our assets are. Oh, I'm about to say something. I ain't going to say it. Should I? I was wide open right there. Okay? You don't know what your assets are, right? So things of value. When you make a purchase, I want you to think about the purchase and ask yourself a question. If I buy this today, can I take it to the pawn shop and get some money for it? Can I liquidate it? All right? Can I liquidate this asset because it's just something that I want for the moment? Okay, so if you buy that Louis bag, for instance, for $5,000, right? Let's just hypothetically say that, right? $5,000 backpack. I would invest in a $5,000 backpack. You know why? Because I already know. I got the certificate. I got all that to it. I can take it back, and I can liquidate it. That's an asset. Art is an asset. A lot of people don't know this. I want us to get out of a borrower's mindset. And I want us to be owners. we have to be owners, but we have to put our resources in certain vehicles that eventually will pay off. Are you following me? All right. Now, how do you get out of a borrower's mindset? You have to honor God, amen, with your giving. That's how you get out of a borrower's mindset. Money and your heart goes together. Got it? Now, here's the thing. Here's another question for you. Are you saving regularly? Are you saving? Now, does everybody know about the envelope system, right? How's your envelopes looking? Shabby. How many you got your $1,000 emergency fund right now? You got your $1,000 emergency fund. Oh, wow. Boy, we in trouble. This ship is about to sink. Good Lord. Okay, let me see if I can say this right now, okay? So the first thing you need to do this year is get $1,000 in an envelope and put it up for emergencies. The moment that you can tackle that first envelope, you're going to relieve yourself of stress. So our goal is by the end of this month, like what? First thing you thought about, where am I going to get $1,000 from? I already saw your face. All right, here's what we finna do. We're going to go home and we're going to look at our assets. We're going to liquidate. We ain't pawning nothing. We're liquidating assets so that we can have a peace of mind. I got some stuff, had some stuff that I did not, I don't even use it. I wore it one time. Liquidating. Looking at your assets. Now, the other thing you're going to do is look at everything that you pay for monthly. Phone, internet, streaming services, insurance for your car, those types of stuff. And you're going to try to get some negotiation going on so that you can get that $1,000 by the end of the month. Y'all ain't saying amen. Nobody's. Okay, so here's the thing. If I call the insurance company and I save $100 or $50 or $20, that's $20 this month that's going in that envelope. All right, now, some of you need to stop eating out this month because that's where your money is. Look at your Cash App. You could have your $1,000 this month if you can make some sandwiches. Come on and help me, y'all. But the question is, are you willing to do it? How many of you want to do it? How many want to dream? Come on, y'all. How many want to be owners? How many want to be real givers? And I'm talking about real givers. I'm talking about giving so much that when you give, it hurts you, but you see it right back. Amen. Is the Bible able to advise us on money matters? It is. Watch this. Jesus talked more about money than he did prayer. Isn't that something? And the reason why, because he knew that that's where our heart is, right? The question is, what do we commit to God? We commit our lives, we commit our service, but for some reason, not all of us. Here's the thing, if you are a giver, a faithful tither, a giver, a sower, that kind of stuff, and you're struggling financially, I say that you have a mismanagement issue. How many of you have ever tithed before? Let me see all the people that have ever tithed before. Let me ask this question to you. Honestly, Did you see a return on that? How did you see a return? Tell me. Yeah. That encounter has been closed. I like what you said. You see it in many ways, right? Right? So let me ask you this. Why do people struggle with that if they know it works? It's a flesh over spirit fight. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, see, this is good information right here. You better shoot. This is good information because it helps you to understand mindsets, right? So you hate to see it go. Like it's, and you know why? Because there's an emotional connection to it. But watch this. Now, I'm not making no jokes tonight, okay? But when I go to the club or wherever I go, I don't mind releasing it because I'm getting something in return immediately. You see what I'm saying? Food. If I go out to eat, right, I don't have a problem paying $50 and giving a tip. But I have no emotional, right? Instant gratification. Now, what if God worked like that? You think we would give more? How does God work anyways? How does he work in that area? Okay, he blesses you, right? But I'm saying, like, in 12 months, we've tried it, we've taken challenges, we've, you know, that kind of stuff, you know what I mean? We got the 90-day challenge. If you tithe in this church and God doesn't bless you in 90 days, but if you lose anything, we give you all your money back. In 18 years, I have not had to give anybody back their money. All right? We were sitting in a meeting today. Right? And you got to see how God blesses me, right? She got a firsthand look at how God blesses me, us. Right? Because one thing I do not do is hold back from God what belongs to him. My rent's going to get paid. Everything's going to get paid because I have an emotional detachment. A lot of you worry too much. That's what the problem is. And what is worry? A sin. And what does sin do? It separates you from God. And you think you're coming to church, you're doing the right thing, you kind of give in a little bit. Now, to the measure that your seed that is sown, your return is going to supersede whatever you've sown. Now, we live in a dispensation of grace, so you don't have to tithe. You don't. Okay? But you should tithe. And you should tithe not out of force, Not because, well, if you're in this ministry and you don't tithe, then you can't sing, or you can't dance, or you can't usher, or you can't preach, or you can't teach. You can't. This, we're in a dispensation of grace, but here's the thing. Every time you come before God, the text says, will a man rob God? So imagine this, right? You come into the presence of God and you have not given at all, and you're just bold about it. You're praising your hand like the person next to you that's tithing. But the difference is you're watching them be blessed and you're trying to figure out, why am I not being blessed? And here's the thing about some of us I want to tell you. Remember when you were trying to get a promotion or job? Remember that? Just let's go back in history real quick. Let's get to God file real quick. Remember that? Remember when God elevated you, gave you increase? Watch this. Did you not remember then? And look, you were tithing then. But how is it that when you get increase, you stop? Now, here's the thing. Go to Matthew 6 for me. This is the passage that changed my life. This is the passage that, man, I used to worry about money. Listen, me and money, man, we had a bad relationship. Seriously, like, oh, didn't have enough. Always falling short, never get ahead. It seemed like every time I got ahead, I was going right back. And I realized something. Man, I wasn't paying attention to the details. Because I was living for the moment, for instant what? Gratification. Now, investments on what you put your money in so that it will what? How many got a 401k at your job that you contribute to? All right? Anybody? Yeah, okay, all right. So that's money that you're actually saving, right? You're saving. Isn't that something? What are you saving for? What is that for? Retirement, huh? You're thinking future, long term, right? Okay? All right. Now, let me say, the best investment vehicle you have is the kingdom. Because you don't just get 2% on your money. You may get 200% on your money. Because that's how awesome God is. Now, Matthew 6, let me show you something. 33. What does it say there? No, let's go to 31. What does 31 say? Do not worry then what you will what? That's our major issue. What we will what? Or what we will what? Isn't that man's issue? Food, clothing, drink, and shelter. Those are the things we worry about. Let me show you something. I used to worry so much about money. I used to worry all the time, man. I was like, man, I sometimes those anxiety feelings come right back up in me when I think about how I used to worry. Isn't that something? And then you're sitting there listening to the pastor. And you're saying to yourself, how? I get what you're saying, but how? And then God gave me this passage. Watch the passage. Look at verse 32. He says, for the Gentiles, what? All these things, not the Christian, but the who? The Gentiles, the non-believers. This is what unbelievers do. I went to a business meeting the other day, and the end goal for everybody was money. I wasn't there for money. I was there to make money. You get what I'm saying? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. I wasn't worried about their end goal is money. My end goal is not money. My end goal is, God, give me some more so I can bless this church. I want to bless this church. Listen, I want to bless this church. Listen, that when I leave this earth, I'm going to leave a stamp on it. God has something in you. He does. He wants you to be a channel, not just a bucket. See? He wants you to be a channel that he can work through. I shared this with the class the other day, right? I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I want you to start sowing seeds into people that serve. Okay? Let me ask you a question. What day does your garbage person come pick up your garbage? Wednesday and Saturday. Y'all got two times a week. Y'all, I know y'all zip code. Houston is one time a week, and whenever they come. Okay? All right. You, on your side, okay, but on Sunny's side, they come when they feel like coming. Okay, all right, yeah. So here's the thing. Money cannot grow if you don't plant it. Got it? Got to plant it somewhere, and not in your pocket. Okay? Here's the deal. So the people that serve, I want you to just, hey, flag down your trash guy. Say, here you go. Whoever do service, police officers, you know, I know sometimes they can't take money, but they could take a gift card to Starbucks. So you understand what I'm saying? People that serve. God wants us to be generous people. We cannot come to the party all the time empty-handed and want to drink up all the drink, eat up all the food, and take some home with you. And you didn't put nothing. Listen, y'all, I don't do a lot of bragging and stuff. But I want to tell you something. I learned a principle many years ago. It says the Gentiles what? And look what it says right after that. Stop right there. Write that verse, write that phrase out. The next time you worry about money, I want you to say, my Heavenly Father knows. Next time you feel anxiety, next time you doubt, next time you feel like you can't get through, next time you feel like you got to borrow from Peter to pay Paul, I want you to call God to his word and say, God, you said in your word that you know. Not just any God, but my Heavenly Father knows. Listen, the moment that God gave me this, that was the last day I worried about anything. That was 15 years ago. And in 15 years, God has taken me on a ride that I'll never forget because I understand something. If he knows, then why do I worry? Patience, my dear Watson. Patience. Oftentimes we lack patience because we want it to come quick. We want a level up lifestyle, but listen, there's more for you. Am I crazy enough to believe that God can make some of you billionaires? Not million. I said I'm gonna stop talking million, and I'm gonna start talking billion. You ever feel stuck? Seriously. Come on, in your mindset of being stuck, you got to see your potential. That there's more, that you are still alive. You still have breath. You still have a mind to think. You can still dream. You can still imagine. You can still have the things that you want. But what are you willing to do to get it? And what I found out about some of us, we don't want to work hard. We want it to just happen. What kind of God would just make it just happen for you and you haven't done anything? Don't buy that Kool-Aid, y'all. Watch this. He says, for your heavenly Father knows. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does that mean? That it means this. You and God are the only ones know about what's in your bank account. And whoever lives with you. Watch this. If he knows, why would he hold back from you? I'm trying to give you some logical thinking here. Watch this. The only reason why it's being held up is because maybe you're not doing your part. I don't need to tell you about the consequences. You already know that. You're living in the consequences, some of you. And it's usually when you take your first leap of faith, that's when the enemy will play tricks with you. And you just sowed, and then you show up and tire's flat. Car got broken into. You just sold. You're like, gosh, now, Lord, now what is this? What is this? Now, here's the thing you need to know about God. God is not unfair, as some people think. But I want to say this to you tonight, and this is for real. Some of us have to trust God more this year. Go to Luke for me. Your heavenly Father knows. He knows that what? He knows your needs. I want you to talk to God like this. God, you know my needs. God, you know my needs. I know what I got to do. It doesn't need to be repeated to me again. You got to tithe, you got to give, you got to sow. You ain't got to repeat that to me, Pastor. I got that. But what I need is I need the faith to believe it. What I need is the consistency to do it. What I need to know is what God knows. What does God know? What does God own? The Bible says he owns a cattle in 1,000 hills. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, and they that dwell in it. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe the scriptures? Don't believe what I say. Let me ask you this. Do you really believe the scriptures? Some of you want to do better things in your life. Here's the thing. You've been putting it off because you don't have a plan. You don't have a plan. And then when you think about doing it, the devil makes you think it's so hard. But I want you to hit Satan with this. My heavenly Father knows. And I want you to stand on that word, stand on that word and say, God, your word says you know, so I know you're going to take care of me. I know you're going to, listen. I know, my wife, from periodically, time to time, she'll come to me and she'll say, is everything all right? You need me to go get a job or something? Because I guess I'll be walking around a little, you know, feeling a little, you know, yeah, forgetting what my Father knows. I said, no, we good. And that's usually my reminder. I got to get myself back in track. I got, come on, God, I know you're going to do it. I know you're going to do it. And then I just sit back, and I ain't got to go get it. It just comes to me. Just like that check that came in your, How many want those types of things to happen to you? But if you don't sow, you can't reap. Go to Luke for me. This is the key right here. You ready? Strapped. Luke chapter 16. My goodness, we're going to win financially this year, y'all. Amen? Luke chapter 16, verse 9. What does he say? He says, this is your finance test right here. And I say to you, make friends for what? By means of what? There's the word right there. Gosh, I don't want to reveal it just yet. I'll wait till Sunday. Watch this. By means of wealth of what? So that when it what? Ooh, wait a minute. When it what? When what fails? Huh? Wealth. It will fail you. Richness. Rich. The rich. It will fail you. Money fluctuates. Listen to me. I know about this stuff. It fluctuates. Today, the dollar in Singapore, it may be worth 18,000 of their dollars, but tomorrow it may be worth 20 cents. Cryptocurrency, those of you who got caught up in that. Okay? Oh, man. And let me tell you why we got caught up in crypto, because we wanted fast cash. Whenever I make a purchase, I ask myself, okay, can I take this tomorrow and liquidate it and at least get 80% of what I paid for it? Cryptocurrency ain't the way. That's me. Some of you, anybody made some money on crypto? Okay, all right, nobody, okay. All right. It even sounds creepy, crypto. You know what I mean? Now watch this. Look at the text. It says, so when it fails, they will what? Will receive you into what? Watch what he says next. He says, he was what? In what? All right, how many want more? Let me ask you, why? How many want to, okay, you young people. Y'all want to level up this year? Y'all want to own your own, maybe get a house, or maybe get a condo, or maybe get a, come on. This is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about. Level up, okay? Level up, but you got to do the right thing in the little. Remember this is a test. We got people in this church that got brilliant minds. But I see you just struggling, man. I know your struggle. And I see your struggle. But watch the text. He who is faithful in very little, in a very little thing, is faithful also in what? That's the key. Write that down somewhere. And he who is what? Unrighteous in very little thing is unrighteous also in much. So God is saying this, if you ain't faithful with the little you got, how am I going to make you a billionaire? How can I make you a billionaire in 12 months? How can I give you that condo? How can I give you that house? How can I give you that car? How can I give you that better career if you're not faithful in the little? Look what it says. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of what? Listen, we think that wealth is a righteous thing. It's going to relieve all your problems. It's going to make you just, oh, have this dream life. You're going to fly to Paris. You're going to go to Rome. You're going to get on a yacht. You're going to sip champagne. You're going to have a good time all the time. Life is just going to be so easy. The devil is a lie.